Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It was last week when Corey Rumor of the Tribune was on our airwaves, as she is now, for this entire hour. And Corey teased that she was going to be talking to one of the prominent meteorologists in Chicago. And I reminded her, of course, that this is WGN Radio. So that can only mean one, because we wouldn't accept any other. And lo and behold, it is Tom Skilling. Congratulations, Corey, on landing the Skilling for a big-time interview.
You know, hey, Dad, how are you? It was tricky to get him. I got to say, you know, he is a busy man, and
yes. He
had the flu the week before, so he had been off air for about a week, and so I wasn't sure it was going to happen. But you're right. The same day that I spoke with you last week, I had a great interview with Tom Skilling, and he's just as amazing and fun to speak with in person as he is on TV.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of articles that Corey has come up with. Tom Skilling, it's a Q&A of a conversation that you had on the phone, which, by the way, has been edited for content. And
I have to put that in there, because if it's not verbatim, you know, somebody's going to call me out one of these days. So. But it's not like Tom Skilling was dropping any
words
shouldn't say on air.
No,
anything like that. It was just for length, you know.
Oh, no, I understand. And of course, Corey's domain is also the archives. So she has a part of the vintage Chicago Tribune. Tom Skilling recalling the city's coldest and snowiest January days. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do the part of the hour we're going to do about this interview, part of the hour we're going to do about the snowy days. And how ironic, Corey, Tom Skilling was just on our WGN News, and it's a coming. It's coming, apparently, at 4 a.m. this morning.
He called it last week. He said, I'm already looking at my models. So, yep, he's great.
Yeah, they issued it. So here we are. What is today? The 24th? Yeah.
Let's see. 24th.
January 24th. We haven't had any snow. And quite frankly, it hasn't been that cold, especially when you hear the temperatures that we're going to be quoting later this hour from Corey's article in the Tribune. In fact, I can't wait to come back from this break. So, you know, Corey comes on. I'm going to go to Tribune, Chicago Tribune. All right. Tom Skilling. You know, I like to get a little audio production. I wonder what I can find. About Tom Skilling, not about you.
Not about me. I was going to say,
I don't think there's anything
too incriminating.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Come to think of it, I've never looked. Hey, hold on a second. There's an avenue I've not walked down yet. But we'll be back with more with Corey and more about Tom Skilling here on 720 WGN.
Ah, not this again. Look, for the last time, you don't own this place. You don't even own your car. If anybody owns this place, it's me, Tom freaking Skilling. I could have you killed if I wanted to. Hello, weather. Yeah, it's going to rain. What do you want me to do about it?
You have to watch the actual video of that. It's even better. Trust me.
Yeah.
Watching Pat Tomasulo running from Skilling's office is priceless.
I have to set it up. There was, you know, there was a time that WGN Radio and the Tribune owned WGN, and then it was sold to Sam Zell.
And he decided to turn it into an employee stock ownership plan.
Right.
Which so meant, allegedly, all of the employees owned it.
Right.
And someone at WGN-TV took it just a teeny little bit too far.
Can you play that again? I'll tell you who owns it.
Not this again. Look, for the last time, you don't own this place. You don't even own your car. If anybody owns this place, it's me, Tom freaking Skilling. I could have you killed if I wanted to. Hello, weather. Yeah, it's going to rain. What do you want me to do about it?
And that is Larry Potash.
Yes.
And Robin Baumgarten.
Are
the two who are they're the two who you hear laughing hysterically.
But you're right. You should see the entire YouTube video clip. It's this whole bit they put together, and it's hysterical. At any rate, since we're
incredible.
So what did you take away as a reporter, that not necessarily weather related, about Tom Skilling?
Oh my goodness! You know, when I started to look in the Tribune archives before I interviewed Tom Skilling because I wanted to be prepared, mm-hmm. I noticed that he's been on TV at WGN for 3 months longer than I've been alive.
Well,
and he's going to celebrate. Yeah. it's incredible.
Yeah. No, go. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, as of this summer, he'll be on WGN for 45 years.
Yeah. Well,
and the fact that he started out, you know, as a kind of a teenage meteorology guy on his local radio station and out in Aurora, it's really hard to imagine. But I've lived kind of in a bunch of different states as part of, you know, going away to school and then mm-hmm. starting out at teeny tiny newspapers where people still wanted subscribe in some of the finest retirement communities in the United States. And, you know, the one comforting thing was always to be able to turn on WGN TV. And there was Tom Skilling with a forecast. And I will say, when I first moved to Tucson, Arizona in early 2007, they got snow there. And now it wasn't like the snowstorms that we get. But it stuck, and to see snow on the cactus, on the saguaro cactus, is something special. And so I thought, I finally have a reason to email Tom Skilling some photos and hopefully end up on TV so my mom can see it, you know, because like a good former Chicagoan, that's what I wanted to do. And so Tom Skilling not only, you know, responded to my email and used the photos, he gave me a call. And he asked, you know, how's the weather out there, Corey? So, you know, I don't know. There is something about that man who just makes you feel really special. And it seems totally genuine, right?
Oh.
So it's hard to have an interview with somebody who you've kind of admired your whole life, you know, because it's Tom Skilling. There's only one Tom Skilling, you know.
I would imagine.
He really is like that. I've been amazed by that, having that experience with him too.
Oh, David, it's so awesome to hear, because it's like, I hope I'm not the only person who feels like that.
No,
so that's very good to hear.
No, you are not. You are not alone. He really is that decent of a human being.
Oh, and the thing is, so I had requested an interview, and I wasn't sure if it was going to happen through the station manager. And I know Tom Skilling is normally the nighttime guy, right, for WGN?
His first hour is 5 p.m. He starts with the 5 p.m. hour.
Do you know what time he called me? He called me at 8:30 in the morning the next day after I requested the interview. And he was already in the office and already looking at models and already getting stuff together. I mean, he is really dedicated to his craft. So much so that I think, you know, there's a whole generation of TV weather people, meteorologists who, you know, the whole I don't know that much about the about meteorology, but it seems like he really has been the model for a lot of people, like explaining the science. He believes in climate change, and he has a very good way of explaining, here's why this is going on.
Do you remember
part of our interview?
Do you remember a couple of years ago there was a solar eclipse?
Yes.
And Tom took a trip downstate to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember seeing the video of him breaking down in tears from the experience?
You know what? It's funny you say that, because I had a couple of friends travel to Carbondale, Illinois to watch it, and they had a similar experience. Like, they were already planning for the next one. But yeah, to see somebody just so, like,
just, you know, emotionally struck by the awe of the moment, that's Tom.
Yeah.
That's who he really is. He's an amazing human being.
How's everybody doing?
Do we know you? Who are you? Sorry. I apologize. I'll be quiet.
No. If it wasn't good content, I would have said something. But it was good content, David.
Okay.
I mean, good is good. And I just thought I'd take a moment to reintroduce myself.
It is your show. It's your show.
Okay. You mentioned that Tom, you made a reference to your age and how long he had been on TV. And there's a line in one of these articles where he says to you, I don't know if you remember the 1970s. And I'm reading this article and I'm going, Tom, Corey was not even alive in the 1970s, let alone remember the 1970s.
Does anybody remember the 1970s, John?
Well, you know what the cliche is? That something along the lines of the cliche that's coming to my mind doesn't make sense. If you remember it, you weren't there. I don't know how that could possibly, I don't know how that could be true, but I was there, and I was there for many of these snowstorms that we're going to talk about. And let's get back. We got a break at about 25 minutes of David's news. Let's get back to his belief in climate change, because, you know, that can be a divisive topic. But I think if Tom Skilling tells you he believes in climate change, there's climate change, period.
Yeah.
And your article, give us some of the article that backs him up on that.
Sure. He was talking about how in the 1970s, part of the reason I called him is because last week was the anniversary of our coldest temperature on record in Chicago, -27 degrees.
Right.
And so in this week on the 26th, it's the anniversary of the largest snowstorm we've ever experienced here in Chicago. So it was the perfect time to get Tom Skilling's take on all of this. And he said, you know, we just aren't having the types of winters that we used to have, the 1970s, 1980s. And he essentially said, you know, if you don't believe climate change is at work, just look at what's happened to the character of our winters around here. He's like, we're running warmer than average. Like you mentioned, John, we have less snow than average. And he says we've continued to warm. So he said there are people who will look at one storm or one month and say, that doesn't prove climate change. And he's saying, no, if you look back 30, 40 years, 50 years even, and see how our winters have changed since then. He's like, I don't know if people who've moved to Chicago since then realize how brutal our winters used to be. And now, like you said, it's 35 degrees. I had the window open a little bit ago. You know, it's totally different. And you're right. It could be divisive. It turns some people off completely. But he has the experience. He's gone to Alaska. He's gone to Hawaii. He's all over the place around the United States. He's keeping tabs on everything. And if he's the one saying, like David said, if he's the one saying climate change, like you said, John, then I believe him.
Well, he has some statistics that you've included in the interview. 3% of Lake Michigan surface is covered by ice now. That's what I understand from the article.
Well, and below what the norm used to be.
In January in 1977, 75% of Lake Michigan was covered by ice. So,
yeah.
All right. That's just one of the statistics. I mean, it's a fact. It's not, somebody's not making it up.
The thing that I love about meteorology is he and all the meteorologists, they are looking at the data. They are looking at actual numbers that were recorded on specific days and comparing it from year to year, decade to decade.
Right.
And so you're right. It's not just him spouting out about this. He has the data. He has the models to go by.
Yeah. Another part of the article said there was a temperature over the weekend of 80 below in Siberia, which broke a record there. And that same area was up over 100 degrees two summers ago in 2021.
Yeah.
That speaks for itself. Thank you. More with Corey coming up. 735 at 720 WGN. Corey, did you hear that?
You know what, John? I had to look up those commercials, the Burt Wyman Ford commercials, because I don't remember them. Oh, well, they are wonderful.
Well, can you tell me, why would I play a Burt Wyman Ford commercial with, by the way, Lynn Burton for certain is the person who's doing the commercial. Why would I, in the midst of a time-skilling hour, really, with Corey Wimore from the Chicago Tribune, why in the world would I be playing a Burt Wyman TV commercial for?
Blame Tom Skilling. You know, I asked him about some of the coldest winters that he spent here in Chicago, and he said, like I mentioned earlier, people who've moved here to Chicago and never experienced those, they just can't understand how brutal it was. And he mentioned one particular incident where he was leaving WGN TV station for the night. He went out to his car and it wouldn't start. And he described how outside it was so cold, you could hear things creaking and cracking like trees every time the wind blew. And he soon realized, okay, the car's not going to start, but there's a garage behind the studio. So if I can just push my car, so he got a couple of people, they pushed his car into this garage, and that's where he mentioned they used to shoot these Burt Wyman Ford commercials, and that there was a turntable. And so if you Google the Burt Wyman Ford commercial for YouTube, like somebody has posted a whole bunch of these things, and it's just as 1970s fantastic as you can imagine. It's like, you know, these like, I don't even know what color, like harvest gold drapes behind this guy, this turntable, and then, you know, like brand new 70s car to sit on it. So he said that was the only way he could get his car to start was to put it in that garage on that turntable for a little while and let it warm up.
I think that's a great story. You know, we're talking about a turntable that you would put multiple cars on or one car on, and then when Burt Wyman, when they do the TV commercial, this car would go around in a circular motion. So, of course, you could see it 360 degrees. Really high-tech commercial quality there, spending a lot of money on it. Not only that, but let's talk about the polyester suits of the spokesperson. Holy mackerel.
I mean, I don't know. I was born in 1978. It made me wish I had been born a little bit sooner, you know, to experience all that funness.
Yeah. Well, part of the thing, part of the article that it's actually the interview with Skilling is in two parts. There's the one that we've been referencing, and then there's the other one that falls under your vintage Chicago Tribune headline, byline, whatever it's called, where you and Tom recall the city's coldest and snowiest January days. That's the cool part. Not just what's the coldest, you know, on record. We're talking about the month that we're still in, right? And that's the interesting part of it.
Yeah, and he mentioned January is like the perfect time for us to get really cold weather. The days are short. It gets some of these brutal, you know, fronts come down from Canada. January seems to be kind of like, if we're going to get the worst of it, we're probably going to get it in January. Now, of course, I asked them, like, if we make it out of January without a big snowstorm or without, you know, a polar vortex freeze. By the way, he doesn't like that term polar vortex. You know, I could hear him rolling his eyes or see him rolling his eyes through the phone when he mentioned polar vortex. But when we get those really deep freezes, you know, it's usually in January, and there's still a chance in February that we could get a bunch of snow. But it's our days get longer and our average temperature begins to increase. You know, it's not as likely, but I mean, we're almost toward the end of January, and right. Yeah, we're supposed to get some snow tomorrow. So I guess anything could happen.
Well, one of the things that's fun about this article, the one that has to do with the vintage Chicago Tribune, is that you determine these days and these temperatures, and then you include a few lines from an article that appeared in the Tribune then. For instance, this one, under the headline, second coldest temperature ever recorded in Illinois, minus 36 degrees. And the quote is in the newspaper, "It's colder than a well digger's butt in the Klondike," said John Carroll, owner of the Lone Gas Station in Congerville.
You might be wondering who cares about what the second coldest temperature is. But yeah, after you read that, you want to know about it, right?
And what great reporting on the part of the Tribune, too. I mean,
the reporter, one of the fun parts for me in going through and seeing who wrote the story is Christy Parsons is now a correspondent in Washington. She covers the White House. So, yeah, everybody's got to start somewhere, huh?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So these snowfalls, these record snowfalls, you've got them for January, mind you.
Yeah.
You've got them listed sort of like, you know, 4, 3, 2, 1. Give us like the fourth right now.
So let's see here. Okay, so 8 of the coldest temperatures ever on record here, and 7 of the largest snowfalls all happen in January, like you mentioned. So let's go to the fourth, because this week is the anniversary of the first. The fourth largest snowfall, which is one that many people who lived here will remember, because it led to a different outcome in a mayoral election right after this winter. It was the winter of 1979. It's when Chicago received almost 90 inches of snow. Yep. That's the most we've ever received in a winter. And this specific snowstorm started January 12th, ended the 14th. By the time it was over, there was 20 inches on the ground. And this is the Mayor Blandick one.
Yes.
So people might remember how Mayor Blandick said it was up to you to figure out how you were going to get your car off the street.
Unbelievable.
The problem was none of the parking lots were clear. Like, very few of the main roads were clear. So the chance of you getting your car off the street were, like, almost impossible. And so people were livid at this man. And it's pretty, like, I don't know if it's the whole reason Jane Byrne was elected as the city's next mayor, but it was a significant part of it.
I was here, and I think it was a really significant part of it, because the snow was so extreme, and nobody could seem to remove it, and nobody could seem to get anywhere, and then that was combined with this reporting here in the Tribune, quoting the then Mayor Blandick, that he didn't take responsibility for mishandling the snow removal. He lashed out, saying police would be ticketing vehicles and ordering them towed if not removed from the streets. He also said there would be, quote, no exceptions for sick, elderly, or poor people who couldn't move their cars. If there are hardship cases, they can tell that to a judge. Holy mackerel.
Yeah,
wow.
Brutal.
Totally brutal. Totally brutal. And yeah, that had to, I mean, there's your leader of the city, right? And
yes.
And when you the city is actually brought to a standstill by gigantic snowstorms, you hope that that person who's running the city has the wherewithal and the infrastructure in place and the knowledge of where plows should go, where they come from, and how to get those streets clear. And there was none of that. I mean, it was really sort of jaw-dropping, the inefficiency of the city at that time. I can't even imagine. You should. What I remember seeing when they finally did get some removal, you know, the snow had to go somewhere. And so they stacked it. I don't know. That's not the right word. Dumped it on the side of the sidewalks. And the bank of snow was like taller than I was. And you would walk through this opening to on the sidewalk to get across the street. I mean, it was really something. But we've got more. That's just one of them. More with Corey Rumer from the Chicago Tribune on Vintage Chicago Tribune, WGN-TV Tom Skilling. We're calling the city's coldest and snowiest January days, coming up next on 720 WGN.
Well, that thrill cam picture is kind of deceiving because the sun out there looks like it would be a nice day.
Oh, I tell you, this is the kind of cold. You walk outside, Sonia, and it hurts.
Yeah.
This will no doubt turn out to be the coldest day from a high temperature standpoint we've ever had in Chicago before it's all over. Bad news is sub-zero temperatures are here for another 24 hours, and we do have another bitter night ahead. How bitter? Well, our thinking now is the temperatures will go down to 25 below zero in the inland locations and 18 below at the lakefront with chills tonight from 30 to 65 below.
Don't panic. That's an old tape. Somebody just tuning in going, what? No. 7:48 here at 720 WGN. John Landecker with Corey Rumer, and we're talking about an interview she had with Tom Skilling. Which has to do part of the interview with the coldest days in January on record and the most snowfall. And so, once again, on YouTube, you can find a whole bunch of stuff. And, wow, those were some pretty amazing temperatures he was quoting. But please, rest assured, that's not now. I feel like I'm Orson Welles doing War of the Worlds. The Martians are coming.
Thinking.
The Martians are coming.
The exact same thing.
Like, you were?
Hear people, John.
All right. So we talked about the fourth largest snowfall, the one that had the political impact because of Mayor Blandick. Why don't we jump so we don't run out of time? Tell us about the what's number one.
Number one, and it's the anniversary of it later this week, 23 inches from January 1967. I think it started snowing at 5:02 in the morning on January 26th. It didn't stop until later the next day and before it was all done. 23 inches of snow.
Let's see, the 26th. Today's the 20th. What we said? 4th. Yeah, and 24th. We have a serious snow forecast that'll go into effect about 4 a.m., which, of course, is tomorrow. So who knows? Who knows? What's the worst snowstorm that you've been in, Corey, here in Chicago, regardless of what month?
Okay, I will tell you, John, and it was pretty recent. Our son was born in December 2014, and then we had, I think, in 2015, I remember it was Super Bowl weekend because my husband wasn't here. Super Bowl weekend in 2015, so February, it snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed. And then after it snowed, it was going to get very cold. And so I had to shovel. I had to shovel, 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 shovel. And I was home all by myself because my husband was covering the Super Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona, which he will be there again next month, Phoenix, Arizona. So this It brought up a bunch of memories, but I think we had like 2 feet of snow, and I didn't have a snowplow or a snowblower, snowplow, any of that.
Right.
So it was front yard, backyard, behind the garage, in the alley, all that stuff. What about you, John? When was the worst one for you?
Well, I think that's 79, the one we were talking about earlier. The absolute had the biggest impact. But fortunately for me at that time, I didn't live in a house. I didn't have an actual sidewalk that I was responsible for.
Oh,
so, you know, I lived in a apartment in the city, and the streets were clogged and all of that. And the car that I owned, you couldn't see it.
Oh.
It was completely buried. It wasn't even there. I remember finally, it seems like weeks later, trying to get this vehicle out of its spot on the sidewalk, its parking spot, digging away at this, dig, pull, push, pull. Man, it was amazing. Yeah, that was the worst. But, you know, there was one, that Super Bowl, I think we're talking about the cold temperature of 85, somewhere around there, minus 27 degrees, you had in the article.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst for me, but I wanted to see what it felt like. So I did. I mean, everybody's
what
talking
did you
about
do?
That. Well, I bundled myself up. I mean, bundled. Maybe you could see my eyes, but that was it. And I just went outside and stood there. And I'm like, oh, so this is what that feels like, huh? Okay, I think I'll go back inside now. Yeah. Oh, man. It's a great article in the Tribune, also in the Vintage Chicago Tribune, that Corey Rumer, would you say you specialize in that? Would that be your speciality?
It's one of the things. It's my favorite thing to do at the Tribune. It's my favorite thing of all the different things that I do. And so each week, you know, it's a challenge trying to come up with, you know, what's relevant now and what do we have in our archive. And so I work with Marianne Mather, who's one of our photo editors, and we try to figure out a topic, and I say, okay, here are the stories. And she said, okay, I'll try to find some photos. And the best part about, you know, extreme cold, extreme snow is, you know, we have great photos in the archive.
It's
really fun to dig this stuff up. And you know, we were talking about the 1979 blizzard situation, and to look back at those stories and how they were written, and you know what people were saying about them. So I love this.
I know, and the article also expands a bit when you're talking with Tom about, I mean, yeah, the focus is January, but certainly in the history of Chicago and cold and the snow, February, March, maybe even a little bit of April have had historically some snowfall. My birthday is March 28th, and my parents kept telling me, I was born in a blizzard, so, and yet I survived. I don't know, they put me out, a polar bear picked me up, I was lying in on an igloo, and they took me, so I mean, it can happen. And also, he made reference to heart attack snow.
Yes,
which is, when did he say that is? More than likely April? Is that
he said that's when the snow, the water content of snows at that time of year is super heavy. And you just know when you go out to shovel it, you're like, wait a minute, why does this feel so much heavier? And it actually is, because there's more water in it. So to hear Tom say it, it's like, okay, good. It's not just in my head. It is heavier.
Oh, no.
That time of year.
It's so heavy that it has that name, unfortunately. I mean, heart attack snow, because people who are not accustomed to any kind of physical activity get out there with their shovel and they think, well, hey, you know what? I'm just going to shovel some snow now. And that's what they're doing. But that snow has
is
a lot
not
more
lightweight.
No. has a lot more weight to it.
All of a sudden, you go, ooh,
grabber.
Ooh, that hurts. My chest, my left arm. Oh, ow. Falls face first to ground.
Can I have a nomination? An acting? You know, we're going to talk about the Oscars after the news. How about a nomination for David as a cold person? There you go. Oh, no. A person having an heart attack. Sorry. And the award for a person having a heart attack goes to...
I am never going to live this moment down, am I? No, I am not. Okay, fine.
We're going to talk to Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. The Oscar nominations came out today. Corey, do you watch movies?
Not anymore. Since I have a small child, I have to put to bed, and half the time I fall asleep putting him to bed, too. So, no, not anymore. I wish. What about you, John?
That's interesting.
Oh, no, no, I do. I'm a huge consumer of movies, streaming, whatever. There were some surprises in the nominations, but a movie that I mentioned, what was it, last week, David, we were talking about Everything Everywhere
All at Once. And it got several nominations, I think 7 or 8?
Actually.
Or 9.
11.
11.
According, yeah. Corey, thank you so much for being with us. Always love talking to you.
Same here, John. You guys have a good night.
Stay warm out there.
Thank you.